Let's turn in God's Word to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24. This morning our message I've entitled The Sword of the Lord. One thing with these half glasses, I can't see the clock too well. Unfortunately, I can still see my watch. But here we go. Isaiah chapter 24. We want to pick out a few verses. We'll read the first six verses. I'm reading from the NIV. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 1. See, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for priest as for people, for master as for servant, for mistress as for maid, for seller as for buyer, for borrower as for lender, for debtor as for creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this word. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The exalted of the earth languish. Now notice verse 5. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left. Chapter 34, Isaiah chapter 34, and we'll read the first three verses of this chapter. Come near, you nations, and listen. Pay attention, you peoples. Let the earth hear, and all that is in it, the world and all that comes out of it. The Lord is angry with all nations. His wrath is upon all their armies. He will totally destroy them. He will give them over to slaughter. Their slain will be thrown out. Their dead bodies will send up a stench. The mountains will be soaked with their blood. Let's read on. All the stars of the heavens will be dissolved. The sky rolled up like a scroll. All the starry host will fall, like withered leaves from the vine, like shriveled figs from the fig tree. My sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. See, it descends in judgment on Edom, the people I have totally destroyed. The sword of the Lord is bathed in blood. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that we are reading together this morning from your word, a very solemn portion of Scripture, one certainly that should strike terror into the hearts of men. Yet we thank you, our Heavenly Father, that although your judgments will certainly come upon this earth, we thank you that there is salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pray this morning that against the backdrop of coming judgment and the doom of the earth dwellers, we might turn in faith to you and renew our commitment to you, that we might be significant channels of your blessing to our world, which lies under the sword of the Lord. We ask your blessing in our Savior's precious name. Amen. If you remember previously in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapters 13 through 23 especially, the prophet has picked out specific ancient nations of that day and pronounced woe and judgment upon them. When we come to chapters 24 and chapters 34, we find that the focus expands. It's just like a picture where, first of all, you have a close-up. Usually it's probably the other way, with a large panoramic view and then zeroing in very finely and closely and focusing very minutely. But here in the prophecy of Isaiah, he's spoken of specific nations, and he's focused in on individual problem situations with those nations. But now the focus expands to all the earth and indeed to all the universe. The prophet in this section is saying that the judgment of the Lord not only came upon Egypt and Philistia and Edom and Babylon and many other nations in the past, but the judgments of the Lord is going to come upon all mankind, upon all the earth, in the day which is yet lying ahead of us, the day of God's judgment, when his sword will strike out and strike down all those who have not found shelter in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our section this morning, I'm taking that as our background, but I want to zero in on the concept of the sword of the Lord in these chapters and throughout the Scriptures, as a matter of fact. The sword of the Lord is mentioned a number of times in the Bible, and we find that it is always associated with the judgment of the Lord. The Lord raises his sword to bring judgment upon those who have turned aside from him. First of all, I want you to notice with me that Isaiah points to the past in respect to the sword of the Lord. Turn back in the prophecy of Isaiah to chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, and you will notice in verse 26, the Lord Almighty, you might read in verse 24, O my people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians. Now verse 26, the Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip, as when he struck down Midian at the rock of Oreb. Recently, Ron brought a message from the life of Gideon. And you remember that the Midianites afflicted the children of Israel. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And the children of Israel gathered together 30,000 men to face the invading hordes of the Midianites. And God said that that was too many. And that was number was reduced to 10,000. And then the number again was reduced to 300. And then these 300 men of Gideon were told to take trumpets in one hand and to take a jar in the other hand, covering over a torch with a jar covering it over. And then at the appropriate time in the middle of the night, they were to smash the jar, raise the torch on high, and blow the trumpets, and the Midianites went into panic, and Gideon's 300 men were to shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And so the judgment of the Lord came upon the Midianites. And in a significant and unique way, God intervened. And the Midianite armies fought against themselves, thrown into panic, and they destroyed themselves, and God's judgment came upon them. Now that's the first occurrence of the idea of the sword of the Lord in the Bible. God's judgment upon the Midianite armies in the day of Gideon. And so it continues to follow on from that point throughout the scripture. Turn in your Bible to 1 Chronicles, if you will. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I want you to notice with me, we have the sword of the Lord here again in connection with the life of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. David's heart is filled with pride. And David calls upon Joab, his commander-in-chief, to go out and number his military host, his armies. He wants to number the total of his military might to rejoice and to be proud in the strength that he had marshaled at that point in time. He did this in pride, and God was not pleased with him. And so God brought judgment upon David and the Israelites at that time. Notice, if you will, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, God gave him three options in connection with his chastening of him. He said in verse 12, there might be 3 years of famine, or there might be 3 months of being swept away before their enemies, or there might be 3 days of the sword of the Lord, a plague that the Lord would bring upon the Israelites. And David says, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. And then notice in verse 16, David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. David fell down and pleaded the mercy of the Lord that the city of Jerusalem might be destroyed. But here in the history of the children of Israel, we have the sword of the Lord. In other words, the judgment or the chastening hand of the Lord being raised against the Israelites because of the sin of David, their king. The sword of the Lord. Judgment upon the Midianites in the past, to when Isaiah was bringing his prophecy. Judgment upon David and the Israelites in the past, as to when Isaiah was bringing his prophecy. But now notice, not only does Isaiah speak of the past, but he pictures the present. And he speaks of the overthrow of the Assyrian armies by the Lord. Look at chapter 31 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 31 and in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 8. Assyria. They were the invading army of that day. They were the plague of the Israelites. The Assyria will fall by a sword that is not of man. A sword not of mortals will devour them. They will flee before the sword. In other words, if this sword is not a sword of man, if this sword is not a sword of mortals, it is in fact the sword of the Lord. And this finds its fulfillment in chapter 36 and chapter 37, where we will presently be, and in a most remarkable way, even more remarkable than in the days of Gideon, the Lord destroys an invading army that comes upon the Israelites. He does it without a single Israelitish soldier engaging in warfare. He does it as Hezekiah and the nation lay themselves before God and repent of their sin and ask for God's intervention and trust in God's hand to deliver them. And God does so, and in a most remarkable way, he destroys the entire invading army of the Assyrians in the field without, as we would say today, a single shot being fired. That was, in fact, the sword of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. Now, in the future to when Isaiah was prophesying, Judah itself, the southern kingdom, would come under the judgments of the Lord. You will notice chapter 12 of Jeremiah. Turn with me to Jeremiah and chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12 and Isaiah the prophet prophesies that although the nation would be delivered from the Assyrians, they would relapse into sin, and God would bring his judgment upon them from the Babylonian armies in a future day. Jeremiah chapter 20, chapter 12, excuse me, Jeremiah chapter 12, and in verse 12. Over all the barren heights in the desert, destroyers will swarm, for the sword of the Lord will devour from one end of the land to the other. No one will be safe. So he is referring to the invasion of the Babylonian armies, which would bring the judgment of the Lord upon the nation of Judah. Turn further in the Old Testament to Ezekiel chapter 21. Ezekiel chapter 21. And in Ezekiel chapter 21, beginning in verse 2, prophesy against the land of Israel and say to her, this is what the Lord says, I am against you. I will draw my sword from its scabbard and cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked. Because I am going to cut off the righteous and the wicked, my sword will be unsheathed against everyone from south to north. Then all the people will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword from its scabbard. It will not return again. Notice in verse 9, Son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord says, a sword, sharpened and polished, sharpened for the slaughter, polished and flashing like lightning. Notice verse 14, so prophesy, son of man, and strike your hands together. Let the sword strike twice, even three times. It is a sword for slaughter, a sword for great slaughter. Notice verse 16, O sword, slash to the right, then to the left, wherever your blade is turned, and so on. And so Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Ezekiel prophesy that there will be the sword of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, raised against the southern kingdom of Judah because of their sin against the Lord. So Isaiah looks to the past, and he says, God destroyed the Midianite armies. The sword of the Lord was raised against them. He looks to the past, and he says, God brought his chastening judgments upon David and the whole combined nation of Israel, and the sword of the Lord, as a plague came upon them. He looks to the future, and he says, the Assyrian armies, which are pounding at your doors, will shortly be destroyed miraculously, supernaturally. The sword of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, will come upon the invading Assyrians. But you will not still repent of your sin. And ultimately and finally, 100 years from now, approximately, the sword of the Lord, through the invading Babylonian armies, will come in and devastate your land. Isaiah points to the past, the history of Israel. He pictures the present for them, the immediate present, and then by the Spirit of God, he leaps over centuries and predicts the future. And in predicting the future, he comes into your lifetime and into my lifetime. He predicts a day when his sword will be raised in the heavens. Notice Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Verse 4. All the stars of the heavens will be dissolved and the sky rolled up like a scroll. All the starry host will fall like withered leaves from the vine, like shriveled figs from the fig tree. My sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. And then notice it descends to the earth. But notice again, if you will, with me, back in chapter 24 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24 and in verse 18. Isaiah 24 and verse 18 says, the floodgates of the heavens are opened, the foundations of the earth shake. Then again, verse 21, in that day the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. Isaiah looks forward to a day when the sword of the Lord will be raised in heaven. If we would turn, and we do not have time to do that, but should we turn to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, we find this amazing statement. There will be war in heaven. Why will there be war in heaven? Because Satan and the fallen angels still have access to heaven. But the day is coming, future to the day we are now living in, when the sword of the Lord will be raised in heaven, and Satan and the angelic hosts who followed him in rebellion will be cast out of heaven and will make their final onslaught on this earth. Then we find also that when the Lord Jesus, the King himself, returns to this earth, very literally, the heavenly celestial beings, that is the bodies, the planets, and the stars, will be shaken in the heavens. Let me read the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he says in Matthew chapter 24, quoting from Isaiah chapter 24. He says, immediately after the distress or tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So two things. Number one, the sword of the Lord will be raised against the spiritual powers resident in the heavenly places. The fallen hosts of Satan, Satan himself and all the army of fallen angels. But secondly, as the advent of Christ, the second advent of Christ occurs, the very celestial bodies of the heavens will be shaken, and the sun and moon and stars of the sky above will change their form and will be greatly disarranged from what we find them now. Going on, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20, let's turn to that passage. Revelation chapter 19, that's easy to find right at the end of your Bible. Revelation chapter 19 and in verse 20. Verse 19 says, then I saw the beast. Now this is figurative language by the prophet John. A person of beast-like character. Two men are described as two beasts in the book of Revelation. Two men, one who holds great political power, the other who holds great religious power in the last days of the earth's history. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. That's Christ. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, that's the second beast, who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword of the Lord that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. The word, the almighty word of the Lord, destroys his enemies in that day. But here we notice that the two great protagonists of the people of God in the very end time will be destroyed by the Lord and cast to hell. Not only so, but Satan himself. Notice Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So we find the sword of the Lord again is raised against Satan and the two beasts, the trinity of evil. In the final day of world's history, God's judgment, the sword of the Lord, will come upon Satan and the two beasts. But not only so. After a reign of 1,000 years, when Christ the King, the Messiah, will reign here upon this earth, there will be a final rebellion of mankind against the Lord, as initiated by Satan, who will be loosed from hell for a short season. And we find that ultimately and finally, the very heavens of heavens, the solar system, the galaxy system as we know it, will pass away. And Peter says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. And he says, the elements, the very basic building blocks of this universe, as in an atomic explosion, the very breakdown of the atom, the building block, the elements of this universe, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. That's exactly what Isaiah is prophesying, what Jeremiah and Ezekiel are prophesying in the Old Testament, something that yet lies future. The sword of the Lord, that is the judgment of God, is yet to come, not only upon ancient nations of the past,